The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, good morning, everyone.
It's morning!
And welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite podcast on the entire internet, even if it is 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time, which is basically 6 a.m. over in California. Actually, I think it's 8 a.m. It's 8 a.m. in California, and it's like yesterday in Hawaii. Who even knows? you have your two favorite hosts in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful morning for a podcast. And what's funny is a lot of people do listen to us in the mornings on their way to work. So, like, a lot of people are probably finally excited that we're on the same time instead of being like, it's midnight.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would imagine that's hard sometimes to listen to people on a very different energy, and you're like, you haven't even taken a sip of coffee yet, and you're in your car driving to work, sitting in traffic, going, can these people just not, please?
Before we start, I do have to say thank you to our listeners for, like, the highest stream week that we've ever had
from
the finale. I should have said it last week, but I got distracted when we were recording. We are very ahead of time right now. We're recording this on the 3rd, and it doesn't come out until,
like, next month.
Recording on the 3rd, and it comes out on the 17th. No, the 16th.
That's
big time. We're 13 ninth, days ahead, guys. That's wild.
Well, but it's because someone has a special trip to Disney.
Yes, and also we took the week off in between. This currently, when we're recording, is the week in between the season 6 finale and the season 7.
This is our vacation week, technically.
This is our vacation, which is why we're doing extra work on it. But we're just trying to get ahead of it. But yes, thank you guys so much for this, like, the highest numbers we've hit, A, in a single day when we dropped all three, but just the week overall, were lots. So it was just cool.
Cool to
enjoy.
I also want to shout out, I was going to do this last week, last time we recorded a couple days ago, but I forgot as well. But want to shout out the UK coming in strong at number 2 with our total streams. Canada holding strong at number 3. There's a pretty tight battle for 4th place in total overall Grey's Academy streams over the last 30 days. It's basically a 3-way tie between Australia, Ireland, and Germany. Like, less than one half
Hello,
of
friends.
A percent separates.
If you're
separates.
From any of those places, will you send us an email or message on Instagram?
Yes. Also, we have so many friends in Patreon, which if you have not gone and signed up, patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod, who are in the UK or New Zealand and in different time zones than the United States. So we are actively trying to get a non-US Patreon time for a Zoom meetup. So if you are one of those listeners, or if you've been thinking about, oh, should I join? I'm not in the US time zone. That's okay. We will definitely make that happen. Also, if you're listening in Australia and you want to be a part of the Discord and you want to be a part of Patreon, definitely do it. That will be probably the hardest one. That's like, what, a 12 or 14 hour difference time-wise? So,
no idea.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out. But the fact of the matter is, we hear you, we see you, and we love you. And we are inside of your ears. So, anyways, just wanted to share that. So,
Right before we were recording, Carmen said something about snack time. And potty time is potty time. That's what you said, right? That triggered this thought. There's an episode of Sesame Street where Elmo is talking about morning routines and he like sings a song, and it gets stuck in my head almost every morning, because the first thing Scarlett does when she wakes up is like ask me if she can, like, one last week she woke up and leaned over to me and goes, I can count backwards from 10. Like, that was the first thing she did. She sat straight up and goes, I can count backwards from 10.
I've been waiting all night to tell you this.
Like, okay. Can you do it in an hour? But I always have her go to the bathroom first thing, because like she is no longer in diapers or pull up, so she like sleeps through the night and doesn't have an accident. But I always like first thing in the morning. But I almost every morning this gets stuck in my head because Elmo goes, wake up, potty time, eat and brush, because the routine is wake up, go to the bathroom, eat your breakfast, then brush your teeth. And it's a very catchy little jingle. And every time in the morning when I go, okay, go potty, I go, wake up, potty time, eat and brush. Like, Elmo has some bops, you guys. You know, I love Elmo.
I love that. It's going to be stuck in my head now. Thank you to Kelsey and Elmo. today, it's funny you say that. So I didn't know that this existed until right now, but I took... So Marlo is also going through potty training times. And this morning I woke up and she's been super funny in the morning, where she keeps her blanket over her head and she's like, ha ha ha, this is so funny. But the second I take the blanket off of her head, she's like, why would you do that? I'm like, okay, fine. Keep the blanket on your head. I'm going to change your pull up in the crib here and I'm going to do it standing up. So as I take off her nighttime pull-up and I give her a quick wipe, she's like, I got to go pee on the potty. And I was like, okay, let's go. And then she did it and then proceeded to have a meltdown because I asked her to wash her hands. So that was a roller coaster to start the day off. But
yeah, sometimes
that means that I need to start building more time into my routine to let her go pee first thing in the morning.
Yeah. So. I would just say my unsolicited advice would be just pop her on there in between the change.
Yeah. Just going to start doing
just
that.
Do
now.
It. You know what? Because then she gets a potty treat first thing in the
Starts
morning.
Starts the day. Yeah. I mean, nothing gets a kid nothing's, going like sugar right
like
off the bat.
M&M at 6 a.m. I mean, she doesn't wake up at 6 a.m. because she's normal. Bennett also has been doing this thing where he wakes up, but he doesn't. Like, it takes him a long time to be awake because he'll just lay there and be like, and just wiggle and worm around. And he doesn't make like the come get me noise for like 30 minutes. So I don't go get him until he makes the come get me noise. But
yeah, Marla would just like sit there and play with her doll and just kind of like look directly at the monitor with her dead children zombie eyes, you know?
Yeah. So
or demon eyes, not zombie eyes.
Michael had taken Watson downstairs. Scarlett was still asleep. So I'm just like laying there kind of in and out of sleep, waiting for Bennett to make the come get me noise. He finally makes it again. I'm not looking at the monitor. I'm just like, because I'm mostly still asleep. I've just been hearing him. So I go in his room. I open the blinds because I don't like overhead light. I like natural light. So I open the blinds and I turn around and look at him, and like, he doesn't have his shirt on the correct way. And I go, oh my God, like, what have you done? So he had taken his arms out through the neck of his shirt. So his shirt is around his waist, and he had taken one of the sleeves and put his leg fully into it. So
I love that for him.
So I was like, that's I guess funny. I shouldn't let you just lay in here and make your silly noises for 30 minutes, because this is what you're going to be doing. Then he was very offended when I took that off of him.
Yeah, it is interesting. Did Scarlett also go through the baby arc because like Marlo's in this right now where we had to at one point put her zip up PJs on backwards because she was taking everything off. But now we give her in two-piece clothing, and she's like, it's on, it's good, like, it's okay. It was like an arc of she wants to be totally naked at all times, and now we take her shirt off in the morning to change her clothes. She goes, it's too cold.
Oh, Scarlett does that every morning. I'm like, okay, can you take your jammies off to get dressed? And she goes, but I'm so cozy.
So
I'm like, all right. She's like, I'm just tired and cozy. And I'm like, I understand. And
yeah,
I,
if anyone's going to get that, mommy and daddy.
I could not empathize with you more. But like, we have to unfortunately get dressed and live it, our lives.
Yeah.
In the world.
If only all of life was just in bed and cozy.
So yeah, all right. Before we get started, just a follow up shout out to all our Patreons. We did have another Patreon Zoom the other night and it was really great. And we enjoyed chit chatting. We kind of talked a little bit about the season 6 finale and finally getting there and the good fun things about that.
And we had a couple of our Patreon members who were joining in for the first time on that. So
yeah.
Some of them had made it on. So shout out to Shelly and Katya for first time being a part of that with their schedules.
We do anticipate trying to do that at least monthly. So if you want to do that, you can join our Patreon at Grey's Academy Pod. And we'll try and take general consensus for time so general we're not in consensus. The middle of the night for our over the seas listeners, and we want to be respectful of people's bedtimes and work schedules, so we'll try our best for sure to kind of do what works best for everybody. But yeah, it's a fun thing to get to just kind of get face-to-face chat time with everyone.
Yeah. I do have two quick shout outs. Okay. One is an amendment to an amendment shout out to the 5-star review that we got last week that we it was just the thumbs up emoji.
Mm-hmm.
The title that I saw on Apple was pick them, choose them, love them, dot, 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 dot.
Yeah.
But there was one more word there. It was pick them, choose them, love them, dot, 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 seriously. So that was the whole title.
Very good Grey's reference, all of the title.
Yeah, so that was great. So I want to shout out Danny55057. And then also want to just shout out our dear friend Lake, our Instagram friend and Patreon supporter. She had like popped into the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
We said hello, and then she had popped off.
Yeah.
And excuse me, podcast. That's the morning phlegm, podcast still not fully out. But anyways, her phone had died. But I forgot that she's doing DCP. So very excited for Lake.
That's right.
Yeah. So she's moving soon. So maybe we'll see her next time we all go down as a big family unit together. I'll so shout there. Out Lake.
I'll be there next week, and by next week I mean in 2 days.
And by 2 days, you mean?
And by when this comes out, I'll be back in my
I'm
home.
There. I am there right now. No.
When this comes out, I'll be back here in Chattanooga.
Oh. Wow, that was a journey.
I know. I've just did so much in so little time. Okay. Let's talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Hooray.
Hooray, hurrah. This is episode 128. It is the second episode of the 7th season. Also, the 100th episode. For Sarah Ramirez appearing as Callie Torres. So, yay!
Wow! She's been in this show that long?
Mm-hmm.
It really still feels like they just threw her in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
The best.
Sarah Ramirez. And Sarah is one of my... Callie is one of my favorite characters on the show. So yeah, that is... Sure. Man, that's so wild. How many episodes have we not had George for?
I almost said something very hateful, but I didn't.
What were you going to say?
Not enough.
Yeah.
You guys, the George hate is very divisive. No one is neutral on George. People are either obsessed with him or loathe him. And we are the latter.
Kind of on the second side. You know who? I know that this is jumping really far ahead. I'm so sorry. I got to tell you before I forget. If there was an episode that could call my April hatred, this was it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we'll get into that. But I'm like, are people as divided on April as they are George? Or are there some people who are like, meh?
I would say there's some division on April for sure.
Well, because of her attempted murder of Derek Shepherd. All right, I didn't want to forget that because I want to circle back to that later. It's not in my notes, but it's something that was on my mind. So, all right, take it away, Kelsey. So sorry.
Okay, you're fine. This episode is called Shock to the System. And that's a song.
Shock to the System is a song by Billy Idol, and this was a single off of his fifth album, Cyberpunk, which was released in 1993. So the single was released in June, and it did have a really good charting here. So when we think of Billy Idol, we think of Rebel Yell, White Wedding, Money Money, you know, like there's a lot of songs that come to mind. We also can't forget his incredible cameo in The Wedding Singer, where he got to do a duet basically with Adam Sandler. You're looking like you don't remember that. Have you seen The Wedding Singer?
I have. I don't love it.
Do you not love that movie, or do you not love Adam Sandler?
I love Adam Sandler, the human being. I don't love a lot of the Adam Sandler movies. It's kind
That's
of weird.
Fair. Some of his movies are a little cringy, and
I
he has a very specific
Deeds,
style of humor. Oh,
I
Deeds,
love the
absolutely.
Water Boy.
Absolutely. Big Daddy? With John
seen,
Stewart's
don't
and
care
Big
to
Daddy.
See. Don't really That's, care to see. I really want to see Uncut Gems.
I want to see that one too.
Heard amazing things about that.
Did you like the murder Hanukkah mystery?
Eight Crazy Nights. I did not watch that because I don't have. It didn't look appealing to me.
With Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. It was actually very good. It was a good movie.
I mean, or I the made one a second with, one.
Just Go With It, where
that
the world
one I have
meets.
Seen, and I'll tell you, I could not just go with it. Don't when you. If you want someone to be like plain and unattractive, then don't cast Jennifer Aniston.
That is fair.
And then just give her a pair of glasses. I just like I can't just go with that.
Yeah, we all can go with Brooklyn Decker though. Total
Anyways,
hottie.
So
all right.
Yeah.
The song.
There is a musical, a stage musical, The Wedding Singer, and I do enjoy that.
Is it based off of Adam Sandler's smash hit, The Wedding Singer?
Yeah, because I think The Wedding Singer. No, yeah, so there's the movie first and then the stage, the musical. It's good.
That's it's not Kirsten Dunst. It's what's her name? The girl who does all Drew Barrymore.
Yes, I was like the other girl that is in everything with Adam Sandler.
Yeah. She was in 51st Dates, mm-hmm. Wedding Singer.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something else. Also, people get really upset about 51st Dates.
It's if you I don't think like about it because it's Yeah, it's
the reality of it. I think that's when people are like, that's not really consent.
It's a problematic plot with a cute ending.
It's very surface. You really cannot think too much about it.
Yeah, you really have to just look at it. It's a rom-com. It's great. It's not great. I actually don't love that movie because it was on TV like every single day.
It was on TV so much.
For 10 years, it was on every single day.
Has a good soundtrack, though.
Yes. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice? Okay.
If we were older.
Yes. Get it, Beach Boys. All right. So, Shock to the System. Isn't John Stamos plays in the Beach Boys now, right? He is a Beach Boy.
I don't think that's true.
I think John Stamos
on Full House. I think the Beach Boys did like a cameo.
No, I think he plays guitar or sings. Well, okay.
John
all
Stamos
right.
just goes to Disney a lot. He's like a
Love
big
that.
Disney guy.
Good. As you should be. Okay. Shock to the System. This is the problem with our morning energy.
We're doing
it's
amazing. I've already had two caffeine drinks. Which is, I normally only have one a day, and it is 11:30 a.m., and I have had two.
That is, I'm actually shocked.
I'll probably have to have another one if I'm going to get everything done I have to get done today.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty wild. I got a drink here in my White Sox Yeti. Shout out to Leah, when you listen to this. Leah and Mark, when they got married, this was their wedding present to me for singing her down the aisle. And, I got the, it was buy one, get one free at Starbucks yesterday. So I got a drink yesterday and I got one, no ice in a Trenta cup. So I got it to go. So I'm drinking that today.
Now, when they gave you the no ice in a Trenta cup, did they fill up the cup all of the way?
They did.
That is very kind of them because
it
to my
was.
Understanding, that is not the norm.
Well, they, I think because I had ordered two of the exact same drink, they just put the leftover that they would have just dumped out.
Okay, okay.
They said, fuck it. And it was a lot of the foam. It's the lavender oat milk matcha, which I'm a big fan of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right. This song, Shock to the System, charted in Australia, top 20, number 28, Canada, 42, Europe, 44, the European Hot Chart was 44. Europe is not a country. France, 44, Iceland, 34, Italy, 18, New Zealand, shout out to Frankie, number 5, Sweden, 25, Switzerland, 37, in the UK hit 30, and the US Billboard Hot 100 reached number 5. And the mainstream rock Billboard in the U.S. hit number 7. So, all right. With that being said, I am done talking about music. We should really fully transition to Grays, but we might not. So, if you are not in the mood for banter on your morning commute, fuck it.
You probably shouldn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Although, yeah, fuck it. Who cares? People are going to touch genitals.
No one really did in this episode.
Actually, that's true. No one touched it, but someone did get peed on, but not sexually.
That we know of.
Not a sex. Well,
it wasn't sexual for Derek. That doesn't mean it wasn't sexual for the other person, which is not good.
That's not. It's not consent. Oh gosh! All right.
Okay. You want to call it quits then?
Yeah, all right, let's wrap it up. This is it. Let's
no spoilies. Okay, this episode was written by William Harper and directed by Tom Verica, aka Sam Keating.
Oh yeah. And the Harper Avery.
Oh yeah. And aired September 30th, 2010, to 12.53 million views, so like 2 million less than the premiere.
Hmm.
I've already read the Netflix and Hulu synopsis, and let me tell you, they're almost identical. So Netflix says, Meredith finally tells Derek about her pregnancy and miscarriage. During a surgery, Christina experiences PTSD. Hulu says, Meredith finally tells Derek about her pregnancy and miscarriage. Hulu was really crushing it at the end of season 6, and then the season 7, it seems like they're just really copying the work.
Their talent department must have gone through a layoff, I think.
Yeah, it's we're up and down with Hulu. Hulu can't really figure out where they're at with their synopsis. But yes, those are the two synopses. So I would say they're not great, either of them, because they're both very spoilery. And yeah. I will say Netflix is more thorough, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Netflix wins this round.
Yeah, points to Netflix. Alrighty,
I love that this episode starts, the bookend of this episode is about Meredith and her healing journey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Excuse me, podcast burp. Also, I was thinking about this I was watching this episode at 1 o'clock in the morning last night. Excuse me. Man, this matcha is giving me the hiccups and the burpees. Goodness. It's only taken 7 seasons. But I really like Meredith is on a streak of I really like this character. Meredith is doing great.
Meredith's in a good place right now. I'm on board with Meredith right now as well.
I think it started when she called out Hunt and was like, I want to like you, but you're a stupid fuckboy.
Mm-hmm.
And now in this episode, we've got some Hunt love. Wait, did I say Derek or did I say Owen?
You said Hunt.
I did. Okay, good. I got nervous that I said to Derek, I want to like you, but you're a piece of shit. That's your husband on a post-it note. I've really enjoyed Meredith's arc. And when she says, go hug yourself to Perkins and he's like, what do you want? A tissue? Do you need something? Blah, 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 blah. I knew she was lying right off the bat. I knew he wasn't going to clear her.
Well, yeah, because that's not how she is. Well, we'll just start with Meredith then, because she's a little bit everywhere, but she's still not cleared. That's like where we're at with her. Also, this episode picks up directly after the previous one. Like they say multiple times that last night was the wedding.
Yes. Yes. So, I did notice that. Yeah.
Clarification on a timeline.
It's helpful.
One. Yeah.
Definitely helpful.
For this one, at least. she's pretending to cry.
Yeah. Even wore her bad mascara to make sure that he didn't miss it.
Yeah.
He is unfazed.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a grief counselor. If he was phased by crying, I would be like, you're probably bad at your job.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so he still won't clear her. She doesn't. She's like, I don't know what this man wants from me. She's like really anxious to get back in for surgery. She left Derek in the slammer, the pokey. As
the pokey.
So funny. I love Derek getting to the hospital, getting dropped off by a cop. Hilarious. April going, the chief's looking for you. I know. You missed the wedding. I know. You smell like pee. I know. So funny.
I can't imagine a better... Like, also, there are two very distinct Derek scenes in this episode that I'm like, gosh, he's got some good comedic chops.
There were
all of
very,
them do.
I don't know if it would have been the writer or the director or a combination of both, but I really felt like there were more like comedic moments, not full scenes, but like moments in this episode than we normally get, and I appreciated it.
Yeah, like when Christina, they're at the lunch table and she's like, did you tell to Meredith, did you tell Derek yet? And she's like, no, not today. And Christina's like, oh yeah, he just got out of the slammer or the pokey, you gotta ease him back into society.
Gosh, yeah, there were a couple good ones. When Bailey says God, when they talking about lightning and they're like act of God, and Bailey goes, God was in a mood today.
Yeah. Goodness. I feel like, especially working at Disney, we felt like that sometime. Like, God was in a mood today with these people.
Very true.
Walt is rolling over in his grave at some of these folks.
Oh my God. Don't ever say that to anyone at Disney, guys. Do not tell an employee at Disney that Walt is rolling over in his grave because of something that they cannot control.
Yeah. Because we all know that he can't roll over in his grave when his brain and head are underneath Magic Kingdom, still functioning and calling all the shots. So.
Like, I just can't. People being mad that the fast pass line is more than like a walk on is not Walt rolling over in his grave.
And you would know. You were in attractions.
You guys, I worked in attractions for a long time and I hate fast passes more than anything.
Yeah.
I do not think they make it worse. Okay. And
well, Genie Plus is also shit from what
Genie
I see.
Genie Plus. So it's like, why did you make this so difficult? Like, I don't mind using the app. But like, why you gotta make it so, like, if you are not a seasoned professional, it is not easy to navigate that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That app is cursed. They need to burn it down. Anyways, okay. So Meredith, where are we? Oh yeah. So she's mad at Derek. She's like, I don't feel bad that I left you in there. So then after everything happens with Christina, which we'll get into later, the moment where Derek comes to her and is like, hey, I heard about Christina. Is she okay? And they're just like, no, no one's okay. And this idiot is just out here clearing people for surgery. And he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, I don't think she knows that that man did not clear Christina for surgery.
Right.
And so she's like, I don't want to talk about leaving you in jail. And he's like, no, I'm not mad. Like, I don't worry about that.
All right. So this is going to sound a little bit weird in the recording, but technical difficulties. We are back. Kelsey, you were just ranting about Meredith and all the shit that she was saying to Derek. So take it away.
Yeah. So Derek says, don't worry about that in reference to jail. And she says, don't worry about it. All I do is worry all the time. I spend every minute of every day worrying that I'm going to get a phone call that you've wrapped your car around a pole. That is why I left you in jail. So that just for a little while, I would know you weren't dying like you were dying on that table. That's what I think about every time you pull out of the driveway.
And then, which is fair.
Yes. And I'm like, that's where it's like, Derek, what the fuck? Like, how are you so short-sighted that you can't see that that is like a problem for more than just like the fact that you're breaking the law? Also,
well, I think
it's the law for a reason. Some laws are dumb. This one seems like valid.
Yeah. It's also, I think we talked about it the episode that we did 2 days ago, but will come out in a week's time last week in retrospect, in podcast time. But it's like, you're The reckless endangerment piece, like, yes, okay, you're looking at that as a micro level. All it's affecting is you. I want to go fast. I'm in this car. I'm the one who's on the line. But you can kill anyone. You can kill someone. And then, again, you're killing your marriage and your life with your wife, Meredith.
Also, when he's talking to Richard about it, and he's like, oh, and you take the turn, and you don't know, essentially, like, and you think, maybe the car will flip. Like, what? How do you not see that that's problematic? What if the car flips? You think, again, you think you're the only, you're on a major highway, and you think if the car flips, you're going to be the only one that's impacted.
Yeah. So here's the bummer about that scene.
That scene is, the performance
is funny.
It's a very
well written and very well acted scene, because they're all reverting from, they're no longer world-class surgeons. They're just bros talking
about
driving fast.
They're just dumb boys. Like, literally, I was like, this is why men die faster, because all of them are like, oh, that's so fun,
should we go do it right now? And then Weber's like, yeah, we should go do it right now.
Like,
the only reason they didn't leave the hospital,
assumptions about an entire gender, but I was literally like, this is just boys who are dumb. This is just, all boys are dumb in this same way.
I want to go fast, Ricky Bobby.
Literally, like, oh my god, Derek, such a bad influence.
But
anyways,
what's funny about that is Derek's like, Weber, have you ever gone 120 over 120? And he's like, wait, scratch that. Have you ever gone over 80?
You're so lame, Weber. You've never even gone
stupid.
Over 80 miles an hour. How dare you follow the law?
And then when Mark is in the background, he's like, yeah, he's right. It's fun.
Yes.
And Weber's like, yeah, no, I would like that. And Derek's like, we should go now. Now? Now?
We should do it now.
And I think,
like,
I
tweaking
think
he, for speed, but not even I the drug they, speed.
They actually could have gotten Weber out there, and I would have watched an entire little Grey's Anatomy short of just them driving in a car and drag racing, which now knowing that we know that he's an avid racer, hobby, avid professional racer, this makes sense that he would get a throw and he'd be able to describe it in depth.
But
like that
didn't start until after this. So I'm telling you, what if this came first? What if this storyline inspired him to do that?
I'm going to be a race car driver. And then the April comes in and is like, you can't do that right now because I need you for this shit. I think. Was it that? Or did someone else come get him? April came and got him, right?
I'm not sure. Well, let me go back to the Meredith and Derek, because this
one last thing. When Weber goes, what did he say? Weber, like, says some shit. It's like as it pans away,
he's like 120.
Oh yeah,
like
120
that.
Miles an hour.
Yeah, that's what it
he's
is.
Just fantasizing about it.
Oh, Lexi comes. That's what it is.
Lexi comes. That's right. And she's like, oh, that's right. I remember that scene. We'll circle back to Meredith and we'll talk back about Lexi. But we first need to take a quick break from our regional sponsors.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
And we are back. Okay. Take it back to where we were.
So Derek's like, I'm okay. I'm right here. And Meredith, that's when she says, I was pregnant and I lost it. And Derek says, you didn't say anything. I could have helped you. Well, I mean, he does take a moment to kind of like absorb that information. And also I'm like, I mean, you were, you know, recovering from heart surgery. So I don't know. I mean, like, I do think she should have told him. For the sake of in a relationship, in a marriage, you should tell your partner when you're going through that something like that.
Yeah.
But I also know that she was trying to protect everyone around her. And ultimately, that's like what ends up getting her cleared for surgery is letting that go and being like, I can't control that. And I can't keep everyone yeah. safe all the time. But so she tells
him. He handles it nicely.
Oh, yeah. And because I do think he's not trying to be accusatory. He's saying like, I wish I could have been there for you through that. Like, I wish you would have let me be there for you through that. I don't think he's being like, why didn't you tell me? Ah! I will say, I don't think that that's where it's coming from. I feel like if anyone's partner told them that, you know, a month and a half or however long later, I do think that would have been like a response of why wouldn't you have told me that when it happened? But again, like a miscarriage is such a traumatic thing, both emotionally and physically. And on top of the other emotional and physical trauma they were both going through because of the shooting. But she says, if you want to help me, your driving is something you can control. So fucking help me with that, you dumb man.
Yeah, that's the bare minimum right now. Just drive slower, please. Yeah. Just do that.
Yeah.
Which is fair. It's a fair thing to ask. And it's sad that it came to that.
And so I'm glad that she has finally shared that with him. I don't remember what you said at the end of last episode, but at the end of the shooting episode, you did say you never thought that she was going to tell him.
I think I said, did I say last episode, I think that she'll tell him within the next two
episodes? I think that may have been. I know you made a prediction that was going to happen within the next two episodes, so maybe that was this one.
I think that was that. I think that was the prediction that I had made. I could be wrong, but it makes sense. I'm glad she told him. I'm glad that he was like very kind about it. Ultimately, yes. He didn't, because we've seen in the past where Derek kind of gets butthurt about stupid shit, and that could have sent him off the rails or like gone back to the Airstream and drank or something. Like, do they even own the Airstream? Does Alex still live there? What really is happening with the Airstream, I think, is what everyone's trying to gather right now. I think that's the only thing on everyone's mind right now is where is the Airstream?
Alex lives at the house. I don't think anyone lives at the trailer. I don't.
Oh yeah, that's right. Alex lives at the house.
If anyone still owns the trailer or not. Maybe we'll find
out. Is he still there? Izzy is just in the Airstream. Fucking. Oh, goodness gracious. So, all right, Meredith, check. Should we talk a little bit about Lexi, or do you
want to talk?
Well, hold
on, I do want to fully touch, unpack the scene at the end where she's with Perkins and she says, like,
oh, yeah, that's right, Meredith.
I lost a baby. I almost lost my husband and my best friend. And I'm clear me or don't clear me, I don't care, I can't control it anymore, so just like fucking do whatever you're gonna do. And that's when he's like, that's where you needed to get to. And I said last episode that her processing, or her reaction, not processing, I think her defense from processing was to try and take care of everyone, not in a controlling way, but in like a protective way.
Yeah.
Similar to
like, I can handle this, I'm fine,
to what
I can...
Owen is doing, which again is wrong. And like, yeah, because he's making the wrong choices, but he's trying to do it in a protect. He's trying to make Christina like choices to help her on her behalf, but it is more controlling than it is helpful.
Yeah.
Anyways, so ultimately, and a lot of Meredith, like what she was doing was also to keep Derek from finding out about the pregnancy. So once she lets go of that secret, it's like, well, there's no point in trying to like do all of this other stuff, because ultimately like a lot of it was coming from trying to protect him from that. So I can just like let everything go, and like it is what it is. And that's how she comes to that realization, and that's when Perkins clears her.
So I remember, I think that I was predicting that within the next two episodes she'd get cleared for surgery.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Don't remember if you made a predict. I know at the end of the finale you said you didn't think she was ever going to tell him. I don't remember 2 days ago
saying that.
I can't listen to it because it hasn't come out yet. So
right. It's never going to come out. this episode's not even going to come out. And he's like, all right, that's a good plan. Gives her an ass slap and says, get back on the field, champ. You go get him. Go get him, Tiger. You know, so it's nice. He signs the sheet. She gets it. I wish that there would have been more of a big deal made where Perkins would have been like, about time you're just being fucking honest, dude. That's all I've wanted. I've just like, I wanted you to clear you for surgery. I want to you to do your job. I want you to be happy, but you need to be honest with me.
Yeah.
And finally, so go hug yourself, Meredith.
Like, go hug yourself.
Go hug yourself. That was so funny. Fucking funny.
That reminds me of the song, the, and if you like the way you look that much, then darling, you can go and love yourself.
Oh, yeah? I don't remember that part.
Oh, yeah. That's like the... That's what it sounds like when we record together in the studio, me and J-Beebs.
Yes. So, all right. I feel like... So, this is going to be a little bit condensed, but let's talk through either... Well, let's talk through the electric slide, people.
Do you want to... How much time do we have?
We've got about... 15 minutes and we'll stop, and then everything else we don't talk through so because of the technical difficulties, everyone, and I have a hard stop time because I have a parent teacher conference for my daughter, one of these episodes is going to be a little bit shorter, but we can figure that out. It doesn't matter which one. We're just also live talking this through on air, so breaking the fourth wall.
I had to spend a lot of time digging around in my garage for something that was actually not a solution to the issue that was technologically being a problem,
but to no fault of your own. No fault of your own.
And someone just left me a voicemail. Who would do that? It is 2024.
Actually, Don't leave me a voicemail. I love the voicemails. Leave me the voicemails. So do you want to talk about Christina or the electric victims?
Well, let's talk about Callie in Arizona, because that's a nibbit. A niblet. Yeah. That's just a niblet. They're moving in. They're arguing about decor. Arizona's like... Christina decorated that place, and I hate it.
It's so frowny and grouchy.
Sad and gross. And Callie goes, Christina doesn't decorate, so I decorated it. It's my frowny place.
Yeah.
Arizona says,
harsh and frowny is what she said. Harsh and frowny.
Modern and edgy.
Yeah. Which is so funny. Their dynamic in this episode was kind of funny, even though Arizona was low-key, like... going full on so much shade. And it is funny. I remember you guys probably went through the same thing when you're moving into your house, looking at paint swatches. Mm-hmm. But I remember when Jess and I moved in, we were looking at all these paint colors, and Jess shows me six colors, and I'm like, I think these are the same color, and you're punking me. So what is happening? And she said the same thing. She's like, no, this one pulls out a little bit of red. This one pulls out a little bit of green. This one pulls out some blues. And this is just white.
Dude, the number of like what white paint colors there are, because we just picked like whites for our house. And then we're like, we'll paint. And then it's been a year and a half and we've painted nothing. But I have been looking at paint swatches a lot lately because I really want to paint. It's also funny when you merge very different styles. And I feel like I don't. No, I feel like you just lean into Jess's, because Jessica has a really good eye and she's like really artistic in the visual way. And she, like when she did the guitar wall in the Florida house, that was so cool.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you kind of just let her take the reins. I don't feel like you push back on a lot, because I don't think you think it looks bad. Versus me and Michael. That man has garbage taste. Because I know there's a word for it and I don't remember it, but like on vases, when the vase is white and there's like really ornate like blue paintings of like birds and plants,
it's almost like a stained glass kind of like a facade on there.
That's like his favorite thing, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? He has the taste of like a very, very rich old woman in like 1987. That's his taste. Like, his taste is ornate, but like gaudy ornate, but he doesn't think that gaudy is a bad thing, and it is, in my opinion. House, there are times when gaudy is appropriate, but like for my house in Tennessee, it's not.
That's so funny. We have very different stylistic choices, but I'm typically not going to push back unless I loathe her choice. Which is interesting, because our house is very like suburban. It's got this long porch, like almost could look like a farmhouse if it had a different exterior on it. And I like very edgy, modern, like rough.
This is
shapes.
What Michael likes. This shit. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. That looks
like
terrible.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm like, the artistry of this is good, why right. would, why would like I wallpaper my house in this?
Yeah. No. Anyway, so it's a funny back and forth, and Callie's like, it's fucking beige. And Arizona's like, okay, well, then it wouldn't be that hard to pick a color. Just pick one. And the funny thing is even if Callie chose one that Arizona didn't like, if they all look similar anyways, Arizona can just pick whatever one she wants.
Yeah. And then, like, later on, there's more back and forth, and Mark obviously is like, you should just do it because you get to be with the woman you love, and if she wants it to be beige, then just fucking let it be beige.
Yeah. The moral of this episode is don't die on every single hill when it comes to house
decorating.
Wow,
Carmen, what an interesting thing for you to say. The person
I didn't say
who
I'm
will
going
die
to take...
on every single anthill that he comes across.
I did not say I'm taking the moral to heart. I'm saying that everyone else should.
And that's a hill he's willing to die on.
Also, I have been dying on less and less hills.
I am glad for you. It is hard. You kind of get the toddler, which is like a mirror for like dying on every hill. And you're like, please let it go.
Yeah.
For the love of God, please let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, it's okay. It's all right.
Also, you're, at this point, Scarlett doesn't know that we're going to Disney, but we had to tell her school that they won't be there next week. And so then, like, they didn't know it was a surprise. And so they were like, oh, you won't be here next week. And so when Michael picked her up, she was like, we're going to Disney World next week. And he was like, why would you say that? I don't think that's what's happening. Like, did someone tell you that's what's happening? She was like, no, but that's what's happening. He was like, I don't know if that's what's happening. And she goes, you're right. It's probably Disneyland. You're like, Jesus Christ.
That's so funny. You should have just been like, okay, you know what? We were going to go berry picking, but now you're going
to
stay in school.
Well, we were just saying, like, do you remember how when Marlo was here, we didn't go to school those days so that we could spend time with her? Like, sometimes we just don't go to school every day so that we can do other things. Trying to distract her. Oh, fun. Okay,
she says, Mommy, no.
And then the other little side storyline that we can kind of mention here is Teddy and Perkins.
Yeah, you
together.
Know, I got to tell you, I kind of like the Teddy and Arizona girl talk scenes.
Yes, I was going to mention that, too. I like their friendship. I feel like, you know, it hasn't been played into too much yet, but they feel like they're in similar places.
Yeah.
And I love that for them. And I, you know, we want to see more of that. We love a female friendship.
We also love that regardless of relationship status and regardless of sexual orientation, that people can appreciate attractiveness outside of their bubble, right? Mm-hmm. And Arizona's like, so I hear you're dating that hot, pause for effect, hot Perkins guy. Mm-hmm. And Teddy's like, yeah, it's so hot.
They do lick each other a little bit.
They did lick each other, although... Man, when Perkins was like, hey, did you hear Weber went over my head? And like,
crazy that he made a terrible decision that backfired?
And Teddy's like, we should just kiss. Let's just go
yeah,
back
let's
to not talking.
Not talking about that. So yeah, there's Arizona kind of asked Teddy, like, oh, well, what's he like? And Teddy thinks about it and kind of says, he's someone who listens to me talk about myself a lot.
Yeah.
And so then Arizona goes, well, yeah, of course he is. Like, that's his job. He's a great listener. And that kind of gives Teddy pause to think, oh, shit, am I just using this man as like a sounding board for myself? And so she brings that up to him.
Which is really what all relationships are anyways.
Yeah, I mean, and he says, he's like, I talk a lot every day. I listen a lot every day. And talking and listening to you is not work. But I would love some not talking time, if you know what I mean. Mm.
I thought that they were going to start smushing and not close the door.
If he was someone who worked there permanently and not someone who had been brought in for an event, they definitely would have just fucked on the conference table because that's how this hospital works.
Yeah. They should talk about that in therapy.
That is true. let's talk about how on this specific conference table where we're dealing, unpacking everyone's emotional trauma, multiple people are probably fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think scene where Derek cheated on Addison with Meredith at prom.
No, no, that was in a trauma.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
They were on that little doctor. Throw your legs up table. The
gynecology table.
Yes. Although my gynecologist also has gynecology chairs, which they don't make anymore. And you can, it's like, it's truly a chair. You just sit in it and then they can lean it back and crank it up. It's much more comfortable, I will say.
You don't like just sit on a chair and then they slide underneath you like you're getting an oil change?
They're laying on their back. That would be standing. I wouldn't be sitting for that.
No. You sit down and they lay on their back, the doctor, on a rolly board.
No,
slide.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just concerned about where you think a vagina is. If you think I could sit like that and someone
could
roll
bottom of the chair would be removed.
Still not really where the vagina is. This is a teaching hospital and I feel like I need to send you... You have a child.
I know where the vagina is.
You have to know where a vagina is. Well, I think on that note, we'll wrap up this one and then we'll see you guys over in the next one.
To talk about a lot.
We'll start with everyone's favorite segment.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.